You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
Okay, we are going to continue our class called On to Maturity. And this week, our next session or our next class is about knowledge. Let me read to you this passage from 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11, which is the foundational verse or verses for our On to Maturity class. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Verse 5, it says, For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. So that is our main verse right there. But let me keep reading in verse 8 because it gives us the reason why we're studying this. We're studying this not just to grow onto maturity, but it actually tells us the benefits of adding to our faith these things. Verse 8, it says, For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in other words, if you're growing in these things, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is a great verse calling us to grow in some very specific things. And then not just telling us to do it, but giving us the reasons why, the benefits of growing in these areas. I like where it says in verse 10, For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's a crazy thought. Because I think I stumble often, but I love the idea of growing to the point where you just never stumble. So that's very encouraging. So what we have talked about so far is we began talking about faith. We actually focused two sessions on that. So if you have not heard that, you can go back and listen to that on our website, bkchurch.com. And then our last time we were together, we talked about goodness and what goodness means. And so there, according to verse 5, we add to our faith goodness, and then to goodness we add knowledge. And knowledge is what I'm going to talk about now in this session. The definition for knowledge, the Greek word that the English word is translated from, signifies in general or a general intelligence or understanding of something. So it's exactly what you would think. A general intelligence or understanding of a topic or a situation. That's what knowledge means. It's exactly what you would think it would mean. And I like this because it's teaching us that God wants us to understand. He wants us to grow in our understanding. There are times that we do things as Christians that we just know. I mean, we just read it and we believe it and we obey it. And that is good, and that is right, and that's what faith is. You're stepping out, even if you don't see the end, or even if you don't totally understand it, if God says it, we do it. But God doesn't want you to always stay in that spot. You know, that's what I like about this. Like, God wants us to grow. He wants us to understand and see the bigger picture, and to have an understanding of what He wants, not just to follow Him blindly all the time. He wants us to have a knowledge of how He thinks and how He operates. And I will say this, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but as I'm studying the Greek word here that is translated knowledge, I was studying how it does come from a root word that also means knowledge, but it comes from a deeper word that implies a little more than just a head knowledge. You know, it's not just about knowing facts, but it's really a knowledge that combines your heart as well. Like you really know it, not just in your head, but you believe it and know it in your heart. And so there's probably a deeper study there as well. But that's what this word gets its root from in the Greek language. But we're going to keep looking at this word that appears here. It actually, in the Greek, this particular word shows up 29 different times in 28 verses in the NIV in the New Testament. Now, you may wonder, how does it show up 29 times in 28 verses? It's easy. It just shows up twice in one verse. So that's how it's 29 times in 28 verses. And remember, the verses are man-made. The chapters and verses were created later. These original writings were just written as one long letter or book or writing. But there are 29 times that this particular word shows up. So let's look at a couple of them and try to do what we did last time and glean some insight and some understanding into what this word might mean a little bit more, and a little bit more what God might want for us. And so let me propose some things to you, or put some things out here. Three things in particular. We're going to look at three places that this word appears and learn some things about knowledge. First of all, how do we grow in our knowledge? Well, one, we need to grow in our knowledge of who we are and what God did for us. This is part of knowledge. Who we are and what God did for us. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 77. Luke chapter 1, 76 through 77. Now, this passage is specifically talking about John the Baptist and who he will be one day. But let me read this to you, because there's interesting insight there into knowledge, because this is one of the places that this same Greek word appears. Verse 76, it says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." So this is kind of interesting here as well, because this word knowledge appears there in verse 77. It's talking about John the Baptist and what he will be doing for Jesus. He'll be preparing the way, but he will be doing that by giving his people the knowledge of what? Of salvation. Through what? Through the forgiveness of sins. And so that's really interesting, because it kind of helps us understand, how did John give the knowledge of salvation? Well, he did it through this idea of teaching or imparting the knowledge of forgiveness of sins. So, I mean, when you think about that a little bit, you can kind of dig a little deeper and understand that. So knowing salvation, having the knowledge of salvation that this mentions, really has two parts to it. It's understanding, or having a understanding of our sin, and then also understanding what the forgiveness of our sin is. And so that's a really important question to ask ourselves, is one, do we know our sins? Do we know what our sins are? And then two, do we know that we're forgiven? And so let's talk about those two for just a minute. You know, part of growing in our knowledge of our salvation is understanding what our sin is. You can't really appreciate and know and understand where God has taken you unless you know where you've come from. And so it's important that we as Christians know what our sins are. It does not mean that we live in our sins. It doesn't mean that we camp out on our sins. You know, it doesn't mean that you need to make charts and graphs of all your sins and keep track of your sins. But it does mean that you have a good understanding of who you are and where you've blown it and what you've done, whether it was yesterday or whether it was 20 years ago. Just the type of person, the sins, the character flaws, the weaknesses that you have. You have to know those things. You have to know who you are. And again, it's not so that you live in this sense of guilt or this sense of negative place, but it's just so that you have a clear understanding of your sin, so that you can understand the next part, which is the good part, which is forgiveness. In order to appreciate your forgiveness, you have to understand your sin. And people who feel forgiven, people who walk around knowing they're forgiven, are people generally who know their sins as well. And so, you know, people tend to be in one or two of the groups. You know, sometimes people only think about their sins, and that's all they think about. And so to those people, I would say, well, you got to remember, yes, you have sin, but the whole point is for you to be forgiven of your sin. But then you got people on the other side who only want to talk about forgiveness. They don't actually want to address their sin or look at their sin or deal with the consequences of their sins. They just only want to focus on the forgiving. Well, I'm just forgiven. I'm just forgiven. And again, how was John the Baptist imparting knowledge of salvation? It was through the forgiveness of sins. And so there's really two parts to this thing. You and I have to have a good picture and a good understanding of who we are without God. You got to be clear on that. You got to know that. You got to be humbled by that. You just got to own that. But then you also have to be equally as humble, is to see, have a clear picture of who you are because of God. You got to have a clear picture of the forgiveness you've been given, being in Christ, which I taught about not long ago, having your sins completely wiped away, being holy and without blemish, as the scripture says. I mean, really understanding forgiveness. And this is how John the Baptist taught, gave the people a knowledge of salvation, was through their understanding of the forgiveness of their sins. So how do we need to grow in our knowledge? Well, we need to grow in our knowledge of who we are without God and what God did for us, or who we are with God. Okay, let's move on to the second point here, or the second passage that I want to look at that contains the word knowledge. This is found in Luke 11, 46 through 52. Luke 11, 46 through 52. And this passage has the word knowledge in there, the same Greek word that we are seeing in our original text. But it's a really interesting insight, I think. And what we'll see from this is that we need to grow in our knowledge of the benefits of truth tellers in our lives. Now, I know that's a long point. I usually like short points. That's a long one. But that's what we're going to see here. Another area we need to grow in our knowledge is we need to grow in our knowledge of having truth tellers in our lives. All right, let me read this to you. This is Luke 11, 46 through 52. It says, Jesus replied, "And you teachers of the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering." So did you catch that? It said there in verse 52, "Woe to you, experts of the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge." Well, so here in this passage, this is a pretty strong passage, because Jesus is condemning the experts of the law, these religious people. He's condemning them for their abusive hypocrisy and their approval of the death of the prophets. The prophets were people who were sent by God to speak truth, God's truth to the people. And these people, the experts of the law, approved of and are being held responsible for the death and the persecution of the prophets. So that's what Jesus is saying. But verse 52 is really interesting. He says, "Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge." So I read that and I go, okay, well, hold on. Okay, first of all, what is the key to knowledge? And second of all, how did they take it away? I want to know what this key to knowledge is because I want the key to knowledge. But I've really wrestled with this and tried to figure it out in context. What is this saying? What is this key to knowledge that they took away? Well, in context to what he's saying, he's talking about the prophets. These people removed or hindered or killed, persecuted the prophets. And so in doing so, they're taking away the key to knowledge. And so what is the key to knowledge that Jesus is referring to in this particular passage? The prophets. The prophets. So it's really interesting insight because you learn here that that a key to growing in our knowledge is having prophets in our lives. In other words, having people in our lives who speak the truth of God to us. Not people who make up the truth. The prophets were not the origin of truth. God is the origin of truth. The prophets were just speaking what was true. And so it's a really interesting thing to think is to grow in our knowledge, we got to access this key. What is this key? Well, it's having people who are truth tellers in our lives. In other words, what I'm saying to us and what I think we can learn from this in terms of knowledge is you want to grow in your knowledge, you need to have close friends in your lives who tell you the truth, right? You need to have prophets in your lives. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody who wants to say anything to you ever should always have that access to you. But I do think that we all need to have, we need to have some close friends who know us, who love us, who care about us, and will speak to us the truth. I mean, we like to call that discipling. And not just the thing that they think is truth. Sometimes we mix our opinions or our advice with God's truth. Now, you can definitely have an opinion and you can definitely give your advice, but those things are not necessarily God's truth. They're only God's truth if they happen to align with the Bible and be the truth of God. So I just want to be really clear is we need people who help us, who speak God's word to us, and know us well enough to and love us enough to speak that. That is a key to knowledge. So we've got to grow in our knowledge of the benefits of truth tellers in our lives. There's a great verse. This is another verse that has this same Greek word knowledge in there. It's Romans 15:14. It says, I myself, this is Paul writing, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. So Paul is telling the church in Rome that you guys, you are good. You have goodness in you and you have knowledge in you. You have ability to do what? To instruct each other. And so we all need a prophet in our life or someone in our life that speaks truthfully to us and can help us, who has the permission to speak the truth of God to us. We all need that. And you may say, well, hey, Phil, I have that. I have God. God just speaks to me. Well, that's great. And he can and he does. However, even in this passage I just read, God chose to speak through people. And so to rule out people helping you is to rule out the very plan that God puts into place in his scriptures. So yes, God can definitely help you and me through the scriptures and through directly to us. We don't have to go through people to get to God. But God does use other humans as a key to knowledge. Humans who love us and willing enough to speak truth to us. All right, so we need to have someone like that in us, someone or someones like that, people in our life that can speak that truth, God's truth to us. right, let's look at one more here. And speaking of knowledge, this is in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. And this is just another area where this word, one of the 29 times this word knowledge appears, this Greek word. And this teaches us, or is going to teach us, that we need to grow in our mixing of love with knowledge. Let me read it to you, and hopefully you can see that. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Now, we last year did a whole series on love and talked about this. But you can never talk about this enough. And here in these two verses, the message is very clear. The message is, hey, you can be the most amazing person with the greatest spiritual gifts and doing everything right, just nailing it all on the first time in your stride, rocking and rolling for God. Everything can be amazing. But if you don't love, you're nothing. I mean, that's what it's saying here. And in the mix of all the things that it's saying that you can have or do or be is knowledge. You know, it says you can have the gift of prophecy and you can have so much knowledge that you can fathom all mysteries. Like, you know all. There's nothing that is confusing to you. You got it all. You can fathom all mysteries. But if you don't just love your neighbor or your friend at work or that person on the subway or that sister in your Bible talk or that, you know, if you don't love people, who cares? You're nothing with all your great knowledge. That's what it's teaching us here. And so we will talk about love later because that's one of the things that's in our text here about growing in onto maturity. But I think it's worth saying it right now because it's right here in this passage, is that you can rock and roll with your knowledge, but you know, you got to love. And this kind of goes back to what I said at the very beginning, is that knowledge is not, this word has its root in this word in the Greek word that means not just a sort of a head knowledge, but a working knowledge, an active knowledge. Like it's an understanding. It's in your heart. It's not just an intellectual thing. Intellectual is not bad. He's not saying here that knowledge is bad. He's just saying that knowledge needs to be fueled by love, right? It's an insecure person who feels the need to demean others with their knowledge. You know, I know more than you, so I'm superior to you, right? And you may not say those words, but if we treat people poorly, then you know, that's exactly what we are saying. Instead, love says, I may know something you don't know yet, so can I share it? That's love. You know, we got to be careful as Christians because God has shown us and taught us through His Word what it means to be a Christian and how to escape the darkness into the light. But man, it's a sad thing when a Christian escapes the sinful dark life they left into the light and then suddenly turns around and looks down on all the people who are still in darkness. You know, it's like, come on, dude, you know, you were just there a minute ago, right? I mean, who are you, right? That's when you've now got knowledge, but no love. So knowledge is great. And we need knowledge. We need to grow in our knowledge, but it's also got to be mixed with love. 1 Corinthians 8, Paul writes in verse 1, he says, we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. And so this is a verse where he's talking about this difference. Again, he's not saying knowledge is wrong, but if you just have knowledge, if you just put all your stock in how much you know, you're going to become arrogant. He's not saying knowledge is bad. So what do I do, Phil? Do I focus on love or do I focus on knowledge? Well, the answer is both. They go together hand in hand. So we've got to grow in our knowledge. let me just kind of close out with this thought. You know, I think knowledge, in order to really grow in our knowledge, you really have to pursue it. You got to dive in. If there's something you don't understand about the Bible, or there's something you don't understand about how things work, or what God is doing, or what he's teaching, you got to dive in. You know, you can't just sit back and say, "Oh, I just don't understand," and leave it there. It takes some fearlessness. Yesterday, I went over to my neighbor's house to help him put together some things that he had put together. It was a piece of furniture he had gotten online. It was a TV stand because he was getting a new TV. And I told him, "Well, that's right on time, man, because it looks like we're all going to get quarantined. So, man, might as well get a bigger TV, you know?" So he needed a bigger TV stand. So I was helping him and his wife, and they're older people, and they don't exactly know how to do some of this stuff. So they call me, and I go over there and I help them. Of course, I kept my distance, my social distancing with them, to not spread anything or get anything either, I guess, for that matter. But I helped him put together his TV stand, and then he had another thing he wanted me to do. He wanted me to help mount the shelf, the CD rack that he had on a wall. And I said, no problem. So I brought my tools, and I've always been pretty handy. And I got a bunch of tools, and I got a whole bunch of like bolts and screws and stuff that I brought because I didn't know what I would need. And I was like, no problem. And I, you know, boom, 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 did my thing and put this thing up on the wall. And he said to me, he goes, "Phil, did your dad teach you this or what? I mean, how do you know how to do this?" Because this is not the first time I've been to his house and built something that he needed me to build. He said, how did you know this? And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know." I said, "I guess what my dad taught me was just not to be afraid to dive in. You know, like if I don't understand something, like if there's something, you know, it's not working, I'm not afraid to take it apart, to look inside and to see what makes it work. And, you know, hopefully I can get it back together." But, you know, I mean, it just, often people don't grow in their knowledge of doing things or their knowledge of something, really, because they're just afraid to dive in. There's a period of insecurity there when you don't know what you're doing. But that's why you're diving in, so you can learn. But a lot of people will keep the fear of not knowing what they're doing will prevent them from growing in their knowledge. So I want to close with that thought. I want to encourage you not to be afraid to pursue knowing. If there's, like I said, if there's things you don't understand, or things in the Bible, or things about spirituality that you feel like you really just don't quite get, dive in. Pursue it. I'll close with this verse, because this says exactly what I'm saying here. This is, listen to Paul's attitude, and this is another spot where this word, this Greek word that we're studying appears. Philippians 3, 7 through 8, it says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." So Paul's attitude was, listen, I am diving in 100%. To what? To getting to know Christ. To growing in my knowledge of Christ, of increasing my connection. He didn't hesitate. He wasn't afraid. The Bible's so big. I don't know. What if someone asked me a question? I don't know the answer. It's okay. It is big. Someone will ask you a question you don't know. And it's okay to say, "I don't know. I'll go look it up, or I'll ask somebody." But this is how you grow in your knowledge. Paul's attitude was, hey, let's dive in. Let's pursue it, man. Everything else I was doing is I consider a loss. I consider it garbage when it's compared to knowing Christ, to growing in my knowledge of Him. So let's take on that attitude. Let's not be afraid. Let's be people who jump in and be people who grow onto maturity as we add to our faith goodness, and to goodness we add knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.